This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Cedarside. Cedarside's original 100% organic insect spray kills bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more, but is completely safe for your home, pets, and family. Go to cedarside.com, use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention you heard it here.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots of stuff to discuss, so stay with us, and you can call us. 888-302-3684 is our number. You can check in with your medical question or health concern. We're particularly interested in issues related to vitamins, supplements, natural ways to support your health, but we cover all aspects of health, the best of both worlds here on Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684. And in just a moment, one of the stories of the week, the perils of skinny jeans. We'll also talk about the top 10 toxins that may be responsible for our epidemic of attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity syndrome among kids. 888-302-3684. But this week, we reached a rather a dubious milestone here in America. The results of a recent, very, very elaborate tally are in. And it now appears that for the first time in history, the number of adults in America who are obese now outnumbers those who are merely overweight. Overweight used to be the exception. Now it's the obese who outnumber the overweight. This is based on a huge survey entitled the NHANES survey that's done periodically here in the United States. It looks at health statistics. And now they estimate that 68 million Americans over the age of 25 were obese as of the latest tally in 2012. And that exceeds the number who were merely overweight, 65 million. For the first time, the obese have eclipsed the overweight. And what that also means is that only one-third of us are normal weight. It breaks down roughly one-third obese, one-third overweight, and one-third normal weight or underweight. Women were much more likely to be obese than overweight, with 37% of women in the former category and 30% in the latter. Altogether, two out of every three women in the United States were above a normal weight. African Americans had the highest rates of obesity among both men, 39%, and women, check this out, 57%. 17% of black women, 7% of black men, extremely obese, meaning that their body mass index was over 40. Also, a higher prevalence of obesity and overweight among Mexican Americans. So what's up with that? Well, you know, I can envision a scenario where a few years hence, say in 2050, some parents are accompanying their kids to the museum, you know, museum like you see in major metropolitan areas in the United States, like our Museum of Natural History here in New York City, where they have dioramas of animals that were once prevalent but are now extinct behind glass walls. And what they may come across is a scene of humans behind the glass wall, simulated humans from the year 1950, who are sitting around a breakfast table with a toaster and 1950s appliances, old-fashioned refrigerator, and they're all of normal weight. And the little kid tugs at mommy's skirt and says, "Mommy, mommy, what are those?" And mother says to her child, "Oh, those were humans when humans were actually thin. Officially, the last thin human died in 2038. And so, yeah, they're extinct. It's nice that we can go to museums and see what they used to look like, just like we go to museums and see what the extinct dinosaurs used to look like or the extinct dodo bird used to look like. The trend is truly alarming. And obesity, of course, increases the risk of a large number of chronic health conditions. Type 2 diabetes, syndrome X, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and so on. And we're not making a lot of progress in our pushback against this disturbing trend. 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Michelle in Des Moines, Iowa. How you doing, Michelle?
Hello. Good morning. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Good. I just had a quick question. My two-year-old has never had ear problems, but in the last 2 months, he's had two ear infections. And I was wondering if there's something I could do to help prevent that naturally. I've heard of using witch hazel to keep the ears clean, or maybe even apple cider vinegar. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Is that your two-year-old piping in the background there?
No, that's his little brother.
Oh, okay. Okay, so here's the deal. These external applications, they can be helpful, but otitis media, media means middle. And these are actually middle ear infections, so they're usually behind the eardrum. And so the stuff that you apply externally, you know, like whatever, garlic cloves, witch hazel, mullein oil is sometimes used for ear infections, or even ear candling, probably not a good idea if you have an active ear infection. These things don't really get to the root of ear infections, which really come from the inside out. And they often have to do with allergies, allergies to foods, allergies to inhalants, or allergies to sometimes something that grows inside the baby's or the toddler's stomach, which is yeast, yeast connection. When you take antibiotics, often you give rise to the overgrowth of yeast, and the yeast creates an allergic state in the body and promotes further yeast infections. Is your child has your child required antibiotics in the past?
Only for these ear infections. This is the only time he's ever been on them.
And that's part of the problem because, you know, look, I mean, what's done is done, but this is the way we treat these things. And there's kind of a low threshold. You take your child and your child is suffering. You want the child to get a treatment. And the pediatrician wants to do good. They will prescribe antibiotics. But the latest studies suggest that for the most part, ear infections are self-limited. And yeah, they're unpleasant. But antibiotics do little to hasten the resolution of ear infections. I mean, better safe than sorry. You could lose your hearing and all that. There's liability and malpractice considerations for the doctor. And so they pull a trigger and give antibiotics, but it really doesn't make much of a difference. What does, and ultimately that actually increases the risk of allergies, and it increases the risk of yeast infections or candida, the so-called yeast connection. So in my experience, what really makes a difference is diet. And the worst culprits in diet are wheat and dairy. Does a child drink milk? Probably. Does a child have wheat products? Probably. Right?
Yep. Wheat and dairy.
Okay. So often
I thought about trying to cut some of that out and it was like, oh, this is hard.
Yeah, no, that it's a simple measure, you know, without seeing a holistic pediatrician, they're few and far between. I might suggest a trial of elimination of wheat and dairy, quite simply. And, you know, the other thing that can be helpful is probiotics. Bifidobacteria for kids sometimes helps restore the balance in the intestinal tract. Lowering the sugar intake can reduce the yeast population in the gut, even without antifungal medication, which I find sometimes necessary. The other thing is consider something called clear nasal drops, XLEAR. This is actually one of our sponsors. You'll listen to this program, you'll hear commercials for clear. But for a child, it's a little harder to use the adult version. There's a children's clear, which is available from XLEAR.com, clear.com. And what that has actually been shown to reduce the population of bacteria in the nasal passages, which communicate with the eustachian tubes, and that's directly connected to the middle ear. And so, but you got to use it four times a day, It's actually even been shown that chewing the gum can be helpful, but a two-year-old can't really chew gum. Xylitol gum actually also, the xylitol finds its way into the eustachian tubes by when you chew the gum, but your child's too young to chew gum. And this is something that you can use to break the cycle of repeat ear infections as well. So give it a shot. That may be a helpful way to go. There's also a book called No More Amoxicillin by a colleague of mine. I'll have to look up her name during the break. But I'll give you the reference when we return from commercial. It's a great book from a naturally oriented family practitioner who talks about ear infections and why ear infections occur and how to prevent ear infections naturally. We'll give you that name in just a moment when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 for this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you could be more heart healthy just by drinking a glass of earthy vegetable juice daily, would you do it? Probably not. But what if this performance-enhancing veggie was transformed into a great-tasting circulation superfood drink? It's called Superbeets, and I can help you try it risk-free. Superbeets is loaded with vegetable dietary nitrates that boost nitric oxide levels in your body, and this equals an increase in energy and stamina without stimulants. Dietary nitrates are incredible for supporting healthy blood pressure, too. I drink Superbeets in the morning for energy, at the gym for extra long workouts, or in the afternoon as a pick-me-up without the jittery side effects. Call 1-800-664-5617 or go to danishootsbeats.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. You also get the free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results that you feel with your first free canister, guaranteed or your money back. That's 1-800-664-5617, danishootsbeats.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And here's our medical story of the week, actually our story of medical mayhem. It comes to us from down under, from the Royal Adelaide Hospital in Australia. In a new case study published in the Journal of Neurology, Neurosurgery, and Psychiatry, doctors highlight the story of a 35-year-old woman who arrived at the hospital down there in Adelaide, and she presented with weakness in her legs, so much that she was unable to walk. She had severe swelling below the knees in both legs. And it was so bad that doctors had to cut her jeans off. This has made its rounds through the media. And it highlights the peril of skinny jeans. They're in vogue, but they can create some severe health hazards. The story is she was helping a relative move, and she spent hours squatting to empty cupboards, but she'd been wearing skinny jeans at the time. And she noted that they became increasingly snug and uncomfortable the longer that she worked. It was a combination of squatting and tight jeans that caused the problem, according to Dr. Thomas Kimber, a neurologist at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Squatting would have compressed the peroneal nerves in the lower leg, causing numbness and inability to move. And it also reduced the blood supply to the calf muscles. The tight jeans meant as the calf muscles started to swell, which is a common response to exercise. Your muscles swell. But the jeans, in turn, cut off the blood supply, and they compressed the nerves and the arteries. And the result was something called compartment syndrome. Compartment syndrome occurs sometimes when you overexert. I've had it from excessive workouts where the muscles literally swell and very painful. Sometimes when this is a severe problem, the muscles actually have to be the sheaths, the fascia, related to the word fascism, the covering of the muscles has to be sliced open to allow the swollen muscles an opportunity to decompress. And if the compression continues and the muscles are squeeze too much, the result is a condition called rhabdomyolysis. It's a very serious condition. The muscles literally die, and they release their waste products into the bloodstream, and they can damage the kidney. This condition called rhabdomyolysis requires IV hydration. And so in this case, the woman was put on an IV drip for 4 days before being discharged from the hospital because she did suffer from rhabdomyolysis caused by her skinny jeans. So what's the bottom line? Excuse the pun. The moral of the story, don't squat for any length of time while you're wearing skinny jeans. If you're compressing your legs at all in tight pants, don't ignore the discomfort, or preferably wear loose-fitting pants when you're doing this kind of exercise. Hey, a lot of people use compression gear when they work out. I guess that's a possibility, too. You know, it supposedly helps the circulation, but if it's too tight, it can impair the circulation. Other conditions related to tight pants, something called myralgia paresthetica, a feeling of numbness running down the leg. And men are not exempt from this syndrome if they don skinny jeans, which is fashionable in some quarters. The result can be something called testicular torsion, where one testicle gets twisted, hampering circulation, causing severe pain, and possibly even causing the testicle to die. Yikes. So embrace the new fashion trend, wide-legged, comfortable, baggy pants.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, just what we need, just in time for the new drug season. New England Journal of Medicine reports that two new drugs under development can reduce bad cholesterol by roughly 60%. One cardiologist weighs in on this, says, I'm not sure we know the long-term effects of these drugs. So in just a moment, when we return, we'll talk about what could be some of the consequences of lowering cholesterol so dramatically. Do we really need two or three new cholesterol-lowering drugs?
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Cedarside.com has been a leader in the organics movement, creating natural do-it-yourself solutions to insect issues for nearly 20 years. We've only begun to understand the harmful side effects of synthetic chemicals and chemical insect sprays, but the findings are significant. Do-it-yourself natural solutions deserve our consideration. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Go to cedarside.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping or call 844-780-6727 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Replace all your personal and indoor chemical insect sprays with a single bottle of Cedarside Original. Go online to cedarside.com/Hoffman or call now 844-780-6727. Cedarside Original for people, pets, and premises. Say no to harmful synthetic chemicals today. Use cedarside.com for a chemical-free world.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 888-302-3684, if you want to weigh in with comments or questions. This week in our newsletter, you can subscribe to our newsletter by going to drhoffman.com. Just provide us with your email, and we will send you a weekly newsletter that is, I think, very informative. And the theme of my blog in the newsletter this week was I saw the movie Jurassic World, and I reflected on the message of Jurassic World. You know, we create these artificial environments with gene manipulation and with scientific technology, and then, you know, what could possibly go wrong? What could well, that's a theme that has generated a whole raft of Jurassic movies, culminating in Jurassic World, which is really a movie about the perils of GMOs, because these dinosaurs that end up rampaging at the end are genetically modified. And we think that we got everything under control, and then all hell breaks loose. Bottom line, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. Well, we're doing precisely that with the drugs that we keep inventing. Not content to lower cholesterol moderately by 30 or 40% with our current raft of statin drugs, the FDA has now given the go-ahead to two what are called PCSK9 drugs, one by Amgen, another by Sanofi. Call your stockbroker. These drugs can lower cholesterol by a whopping 60%. What could possibly go wrong with that? What a boon to mankind, since everybody knows that cholesterol is the cause of heart disease, right? You know, those eggs that you eat, they're what's giving you a heart attack. Wrong, according to a recent reevaluation of the data that looks at the relationship between cholesterol intake and heart disease, virtually nil. And now there's a new study that has examined the association between cholesterol-lowering drugs and memory impairment. And this is based on existing cholesterol-lowering drugs. Imagine if we even further lower cholesterol. Oh, by the way, the brain is largely composed of cholesterol. If they're going to eliminate a major building block for our brains, what do you expect? According to this story in Journal of the American Medical Association, both statin and non-statin cholesterol-lowering drugs were associated with memory loss in the first 30 days after patients started taking the medications when compared with non-users. However, here's the interesting part. They dismissed the results of this finding. They don't recognize the potential implications if in just 30 days people are reporting memory loss, because they say, well, those people went to the doctor more, so they had an opportunity to complain more. So they call this reporting bias or detection bias. In other words, you go to the doctor and you know it's an opportunity to complain, so you complain, my memory isn't as good as it once was. Well, ignore the complaint, because what do those patients know? They don't know what's going on. So this is also in line with recent studies that have linked statin use to an increased prevalence of Parkinson's disease, a disease which is really rampant in our society. So, we're going to have two or three new cholesterol-lowering drugs that slash our cholesterol dramatically, and with maybe potentially, I mean, they don't even know yet. They're going to approve these drugs just simply on the basis they lower cholesterol, and the theory that if you lower cholesterol, you're going to lower the risk of heart disease. Well, maybe, just maybe. But before they approve these drugs, shouldn't there be some long-term studies of what the consequences of being on the drugs might be to other organ systems of the body? No. They're not going to do that. All right. This item is a compendium of things that contribute to attention deficit disorder. There's been a very, very successful marketing of attention deficit disorder by drug companies who want us to prescribe powerful medications to our kids to straighten out their brains. And oh, by the way, statistics now show that prescriptions for adult ADD outnumber prescriptions for childhood ADD for the first time ever. So we really mainstreamed the diagnosis of ADHD. And there are a couple of doctors, one here in New York, Dr. Philip Landergan of New York's Mount Sinai Hospital, along with Dr. Philippe Grandjean, who's a researcher at Harvard. now report that disorders of neurobehavioral development affect 10 to 15% of all births. That comprises not just ADHD or ADD, but also autism, ODD, which is a terrible thing if you're oppositional defiant disorder. The kid, you know, says, I hate you, throws things at you, bites you, conduct disorder, dyslexia. And they may in large part be due to toxins from the environment which interrupt the healthy brain development of children. So here's a list of 10 toxins which are prevalent in the environment which can affect kids' brain development. I'll share them with you, and I've posted them on Facebook, so if you can go to my Facebook page and scroll down, you'll see this article posted. Number one, lead. Very well known that lead can impair IQ. And beyond low IQ, lead also leads to behavioral problems, attention problems, aggressive behavior, irritability, loss of acquired developmental skills. And this is unfortunately more prevalent in the inner city, where deteriorating housing with lead paint has created an epidemic of lead exposure. Then there's methylmercury, some of which is intentionally injected into our bodies in the form of thimerosal, which is the form of mercury used in many vaccines. It's also used in the silver fillings that we put into kids' teeth. It's also present in certain fish, tuna, swordfish, tilefish, and shark. Then there's number three, PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls. PCB production was banned by Congress in 1978, but it still lingers in the environment. And many of our rivers and lakes contain high amounts of PCBs. That's why fishing has become risky because of the PCB content of certain fish. Arsenic. Arsenic used to be used as a wood preservative, and it's still being released through different agricultural applications. Number five, toluene, used as a solvent. That's glue, and also it's a solvent, like paint strippers, nail polish. Think of the poor women who work in nail polish places. God forbid that they should be pregnant. Or God forbid that you, pregnant, go to get your nails done. Because toluene is something that can create serious brain developmental problems. Number six, manganese. Well, don't worry about the small amounts of manganese that are in supplements, but in high amounts, manganese, it's used in steel production. It's also found in the exhaust of automobiles. And it can affect the brain. Fluoride. Well, we deliberately add this to our drinking water. Higher levels of this chemical have been connected with a 7-point decrease in IQ in children. Number eight, pesticides. This is one of the reasons why one of our good sponsors is Cedarside, which is a natural alternative to the sprays. We shared with you an article last week that shows that exposure to pyrethrins, the common ingredients found in bug sprays, can reduce cognitive performance in kids. These substances have been linked to structural abnormalities of the brain and neurodevelopmental problems that persist up to age 7. Tetrachloroethylene, or TCE. TCE is dry cleaning solution. You know, when you get those clothes, freshly cleaned clothes back from the dry cleaner, and you hang them up in your bedroom closet, well, that permeates your house. And you breathe it, and your kids breathe it. And these solvents have been linked to hyperactivity, aggressive behavior, increased risk of psychiatric diagnosis. So it's also something that permeates beauty parlors. So TCE is a neurotoxin. And finally, number 10, polybrominated diphenyl ethers, or PBDEs, these are flame retardants. And ironically, the state of California requires higher amounts of these flame retardants in mattresses and kids' clothes and pajamas and pillows and so on, sofas. And as a result, you know, you close the windows, turn on the air conditioner, and higher levels of these accumulate. Mothers pass high levels of the toxin to children through their breast milk. Children with the highest amounts of PBDE scored the lowest on cognitive tests at age 4. And so, you know, each and every one of these things has been tested individually. But what about these things in combination? We're talking about 10 different things that can have a deleterious effect on brain function in kids. Combine that with, you know, the environmental factors such as the prevalence of mobile devices. And no wonder kids have a decreased attention span and they require drugs to help them mentally focus. These are environmental hazards that we really need to be cognizant of. And you can get a list of them. Go to my Facebook page and I posted them. Check it out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Cedarside.com has been a leader in the organics movement, creating natural do-it-yourself solutions to insect issues for nearly 20 years. We've only begun to understand the harmful side effects of synthetic chemicals and chemical insect sprays, but the findings are significant. Do-it-yourself natural solutions deserve our consideration. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Go to cedarside.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping or call 844-780-6727 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Replace all your personal and indoor chemical insect sprays with a single bottle of Cedarside Original. Go online to cedarside.com/Hoffman or call now 844-780-6727. Cedarside Original for people, pets, and premises. Say no to harmful synthetic chemicals today. Use cedarside.com for a chemical-free world.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's an example of why popular psychology and popular science headlines can sometimes be very misleading. Some of you may have been reading the papers, listening to the radio, watching cable TV, and you might have come across a story that has the very enticing title, Why Conservatives Might Be Better at Dieting Than Liberals. What's up with that? Why conservatives might be better at dieting than liberals. It seems that, you know, that particular assertion might be belied by the fact that obesity statistics in some of the red states that routinely vote conservative are sky high. And in states that are blue, you know, California and Colorado, people embrace an active lifestyle and are generally thinner. Colorado actually is the thinnest state in the union, very sports-minded state, but also maybe, you know, the effects of altitude. You know, it's a little tougher to move around, and maybe people who are real heavy have trouble with the thin air, so they just don't hang out that much in Colorado. But so here's what the study says. In a paper published this week in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, that sounds pretty exalted, the National Academy of Sciences, Researchers say there is a link between political ideology and the ability to exert self-control. Oh, okay, that sounds pretty interesting. Let's see if we can go with this. In a series of three studies with more than 300 participants, that's not a heck of a lot, the authors found that people who identify as conservative perform better on tests of self-control than those who identify as liberal, regardless of race, socioeconomic status, and gender. You know, that's kind of interesting. You know, the term liberal and the term libertine, they're kind of similar, right? You know, libertine, somebody who's going to party hardy. And maybe there's some, you know, philosophically, people who are conservative are more, they play by the rules. They want to, they want to stick to established values. And maybe, just maybe, that translates to better dieting behavior. Conservatives tend to agree with statements like strength of mind can always overcome the body's desires, and people can overcome any obstacles if they truly want to. Conservatives tend to believe they had a greater control over their outcomes. So, I read this article and I looked at it very carefully. And then I finally realized that it actually had absolutely nothing to do with people's ability to adhere to it. I mean, there was no fact basis where they ascertained whether conservatives or liberals could push away from the dinner table. So this is more a speculative study. And, you know, I'm sure we have liberals all across the political spectrum. And that's kind of what's interesting about the politics of integrative medicine and natural health is that, you know, on the one hand, we have people who are libertarians on the right who believe in self-determination, don't force us to take vaccines, don't take our supplements away. And then we have people, you know, perhaps on the left side of the spectrum who say, let's keep our environment clean. Let's put restrictions on companies. Let's even enact laws to restrict the size of sodas or tax harmful foods. And so, therefore, you know, I got to say, I'm not entirely sure that conservatives might be better at dieting than liberals, as the lurid headlines suggest. All right. This item has to do with yet another substance that can help our bones, melatonin. Melatonin, didn't know about that. You know, we talk about vitamin D and vitamin K, calcium, magnesium, silicon, boron, Ipraflavone. Lately, we've talked about strontium, silicon. These are all substances that can help us with bone. I like a product called Ostera, which utilizes the benefits of hops to enhance bone density. This one is about melatonin, and it turns out that melatonin. In a double-blind randomized control trial, 81 postmenopausal osteopenic women received daily treatment with melatonin, just 1 milligram. That's just, or 3 milligrams, 1 and 3 milligrams. And what they found was compared to placebo, there was an increase in bone density in a dose-dependent manner. So the ones who got 1 milligram of melatonin, they didn't get much improvement. The ones who got 3 milligrams of melatonin, they got a 2.3% improvement in their femoral neck bone density. So this is something that I'm going to begin to include in our programs for women who are suffering from bone loss. Men too, because this is likely, the study was done in women where osteoporosis is more prevalent, but very likely to work in men as well. All right, here's an item. This looks at the, you know, when you have severe back pain, you go to the doctor, and if you're in severe pain, the doctor says, I'll give you a shot in your back. It's called an epidural. Steroids are sometimes injected into the, it's like what pregnant women get to ease the pain of birth. And this is used particularly when people have not just back pain, but sciatica, just numbness and pain running down the leg. And it's thought that this is going to help. This is going to make a difference. And indeed, initially it does. It relieves the pain, and a lot of people go away happy. But here's a study that looks at the long-term outcome of that kind of treatment. And just as I've been saying for a long time, you may get short-term benefit and, you know, get up and around quicker. But in this particular study, differences between groups who received either medical treatment or these injections, which are expensive and, you know, potential downsides too, they're not done correctly. And in one case, contaminated steroids given in injections caused terrible fungal infections. This is dozens and dozens of people were affected. Some died. Others had terrible infections. Differences between the groups were no longer significant at 3 months. So the conclusion, steroid shots in the back, epidural steroids have provided only minimal short-term benefit at best. So think physical therapy, think chiropractic, think acupuncture, because the drugs don't do it and the injections don't.